Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. As we're working to grow our brands, we're putting in the work, we're putting in all this effort, it is not uncommon for us to find ourselves occasionally getting stuck. And the key when you are stuck is to get unstuck as quickly as possible. That is going to be the focus of today's episode. And today's guest is the CEO of The Artist Evolution. He also helps marketing directors to be successful through strategy and implementation support. And a little more detail about the company, The Artist Evolution is a strategic growth agency that specializes in developing and implementing strategic marketing playbooks that help CMOs and marketing managers highlight distinguishing traits to build brand image, maximize ROI, and avoid wasting marketing dollars in a competitive industry. Today's guest for episode 254 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Derek Champagne. Derek, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, thank you so much for having me today. Your listeners are in good hands, and I appreciate the time, and I want to share as much value as I can.
Derek, thank you for taking the time to be on Breakthrough Success. I'm really looking forward to getting into this. Getting our brands unstuck from any situation where we find ourselves stuck is something that we need to do as quickly as possible. That's why we're focusing on it in this episode. So before we do that, I'd like to get a little backstory. So can you share with us why you decided to start The Artist Evolution and some of the backstory behind that?
Absolutely. If you don't mind, I'll share a little bit about who I am as well, if that's okay.
Perfect.
I at an early age, I remember being on stage for the first time at 3 years old. My parents were part-time touring musicians. And so I had a love of business and music pretty equally in my early years. So I went on to start a few companies, but I was also managing a band at the age of 11 that my brother and I were touring in and getting rides and dropped off at shows for, all the way from Arkansas to Nashville. So we had chauffeurs, my parents, driving us around. Fast forward a few years later, and I had an opportunity to move to Los Angeles, where I was a musician and I had a couple companies out there. And I played 4 or 5 nights a week on the Sunset Strip. I was the bass player at the Viper Room back when Johnny Depp owned the club, and got to do a lot of stuff with TV and music soundtracks and play and do a lot of guerrilla marketing. But had an opportunity in mid-2000s, around the time when, if you remember, around 2000s when the music industry really had a big change. In fact, it was flipped on its head, and you saw companies like Tower Records go under, and you saw Capitol Records and all the other industries, giants kind of just fold in a little bit and get a lot smaller and shrink down. So it changed the whole landscape of the business I was in. So I ended up making a transition. I moved back to Northwest Arkansas, and I was working for an agency where I helped start a professional division, and our clients in the agency were clients like Dial, T-Mobile, Rubbermaid, Crayola, a lot of big vendor type clients for Walmart. Northwest Arkansas, where I was, where I had relocated to, is where Walmart and Sam's Club is from. So it's kind of like a retail mecca for marketing. In 2008, Walmart decided that every business in the world that wanted to do business with them had to have a physical presence, a physical brick and mortar presence in Northwest Arkansas. And so you can imagine kind of the gold rush of growth in that area. In 2007, I was working for this agency, and I really had a heart for helping smaller businesses and giving more personal attention to strategy and development, and they weren't really getting that in that kind of Walmart vendor agency environment. So with the blessing, actually, of the ownership of the agency, they were kind of about to let some clients go, and I was moving on to a different direction. So in a Jerry Maguire-type moment, I remember sitting in a parking lot and calling one of my first clients from my agency and saying, "I've got some bad news. We have to let you go." But the good news is I can start working on your account and helping you immediately. I'm actually going off on my own as a consultant and starting an agency. It got really quiet. And then that first client said, what time can you get here? And I got right in the car and went and started to work right then for my first client. So that was 11 years ago. Fast forward several years later, but we've worked from household brands to startups all over the country, and really focusing on strategy, building really sound strategic playbooks, and then helping with implementation, because we saw that all the best strategy in the world didn't really mean a lot if there wasn't good implementation and consistent execution. So that's what our agency focuses on.
And I really like the themes of implementation, which, I mean, you can have the best plan on paper, but without implementation, it's not going to do you any good. And also that theme, how Derek got started by helping others, which is something that, like, he wanted to help people with their businesses, which that is a strong why, like, if you tie it into impact. So I wanted to mention those things. We're going to now go into a little bit more about the whole getting unstuck part of the episode. But before we do that, I mean, like, we are sort of diving in right now. Because before we talk about getting unstuck, we have to talk about how we get stuck in the first place. So I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit about how do brands like find themselves stuck? Is it a set of factors? Is it a mindset? Is it a pattern? Like, how do brands like get themselves stuck in the first place?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, some get stuck from day one. And so if I can tell you the five crisis points in marketing around brands getting stuck, it's what I wrote my book about, Don't Buy a Duck. It's about these common crisis points. And a few years ago, I was saying I did over 1,000, but now it's been over 1,500 audits of businesses from startups to household brands and seeing where they get stuck. Some of these sound really simple, and they are. But when they're missed, and you know this as an expert content marketer, if you don't understand who you're talking to and how you're talking to them and having the right message, you're not relevant. And so brands get stuck because they don't always understand who they are. So let me talk about that first. It's what I call the brand's Bermuda Triangle, because it's this kind of lost, not sure what we're about, not sure who we're really trying to reach, not sure and understanding our competition. So the first thing is understanding who you are. Who am I? As a business, as a product, what do I want to be known for? What's the framework if I look at my business? What do I want people saying about me? What are the moods and the emotions and the adjectives and the phrases? When I look back a few years down the road, what do I want the experience to be? Who am I? What makes me unique? What is my unique selling or my unique value proposition? Do I really know what that is? And we've worked with a ton of dental campaigns around the country. And if I hear one more dentist in a commercial say that they have a warm, inviting environment, or that they have a friendly staff, or that they have a clean sterilization room. Imagine that. I've heard that advertised. We have a clean sterilization room. Well, you better. It's a sterilization room. That's not enough. That doesn't differentiate your brand. What is it that makes you different? And as part of understanding who you are in that brand's Bermuda Triangle, we also want to encourage business owners to also look at their competition, not to copy them. We're not saying you should copy your competition ever. But we want you to understand the entire landscape of your industry. What does it look like? What are your competitors doing? What are they saying? How are they trying to stand out? How are people responding to them? What are they doing with press releases? What are they doing with their ad spend? What are they doing with their SEO, with their promotional offers? What kind of reviews and testimonials are they getting? All of those things. We encourage small business owners, if they've never done it, to actually just kind of be like a nosy girlfriend, a nosy boyfriend, someone that's snooping to see what's going on. Be nosy, snoop, get everything you can find on your competition. Stick in a Word document. I don't care, but get it all in one place so you can start to see, oh, this is what the landscape of my competition looks like. So now I can see where I can even stand out, where my voice will cut through the clutter, where I can stay top of mind, tip of tongue, where I can offer something that is different. And so we encourage that first one, who am I? And that second one is part of the brand's Bermuda Triangle, is understanding who they are. Really better understanding your target customer. And I know as a content marketer, you're an expert on this. We often say we understand our target customer, but I've found many times, again, remember, we've done over 1,000 audits, and commonly we find that the customer wasn't really understood. I like to use the analogy of if you were taking your significant other out for dinner and they're vegetarian, you take them to the best steakhouse in town. It's probably not going to go over very well for you. If you don't know what's important to them, if you don't know what they like, right? And so sometimes we do these surface understandings of our customers, or we make assumptions, and that's not enough. You want to get to know your customers: gender, income, ethnicity, marital status, religion, education, stage of life, their hobbies, better know where they're located. We've done audits where where the customer did not know where their target customers were even geographically located. They didn't know where to start. So they were just throwing stuff out there and hoping they reached them. Their buying patterns, their political affiliation, get to know them. And whenever we see mistakes in marketing, when we see money wasted, it's a lot of times when we go right to the very beginning and look at the brand part of it, and there's other things we'll talk about, but we find out that they didn't really have a good, clear understanding of who they were, so it was making hard for their brand ambassadors, their employees, their customers to refer them properly, and then they didn't really understand their target customer, so they didn't know how to communicate with them, and then they didn't even know where to reach them. And so whenever we're talking about building an effective marketing campaign, you need to know where to reach your customer, but you need to understand them before you can do that.
And I really like this theme of making sure you know who your targeted customer is, because, I mean, once you know that, you can have like the messaging, you can create content that appeals to that person instead of just trying to cast a big net and not landing all the right people in that net. So it's really important to understand your targeted customer, as Derek pointed out. And one of the things I do want to ask is, we talked about how brands find themselves stuck, but how can we turn the corner? And not just for brands who are stuck, but also for people who they may feel stuck with their current business ideas, they feel stuck with their productivity. How can we turn around the corner anytime we find ourselves stuck?
Yeah, anytime you find yourself stuck, first of all, there's five things that you need to have. You need to understand clearly who you are, and I'll go into some of these in more detail. You need to really understand your target customer. We talked about those. You need to make sure you're using the right marketing tools. Often I see a great brand that understands themselves and they really understand their target customer, but when it comes time to executing their plan, they don't actually update their tools. So let me specifically like landing pages and their logo and the things that need to, so instead of bringing their tools up to the level of their new brand, this great focused brand, they dumb down their brand to fit into their existing tools. That's one of the easiest things that you can fix. But when it's not fixed, I've seen brands spend tens and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars in a month sending them using the wrong tools. So make sure you have the right tools. And the way you do that is you say, okay, let's audit every single thing I use, every single thing, including my employees, from my letterhead to my logos to my email signature to my brand videos to my messaging on LinkedIn to my website, to my landing pages. Now, let me look. Are those all showing the perception that I want to have, like they match the level of quality and the message that I want to have, no corners cut, and are they achieving my objectives? Are they helping me bring people in and close and actually convert to sales? If they're not, they need to be adjusted. That's actually the easier part. Once you understand who you are and who they are, the tools can be adjusted more easily. So adjusting your tools, and the next thing is having a really good plan, writing out an integrated plan. I have a chapter in my book that says, if marketing's not going according to plan, perhaps you don't have a plan. So knowing who you are, understanding your customer, having the right tools, writing out a good plan, and then the last one is to have consistent execution. As we talked about in the beginning, if you have a great strategy but you don't have implementation and execution, then it really doesn't mean anything. And if you want to make progress, if your brand's stuck, if your campaigns are stuck, if you're doing these things that I recommended and you're doing consistent execution, it's what we call our ongoing first downs, then you're going to start to make traction. So I want you to picture the end zone in a football analogy. The end zone are your objectives. That's where you're trying to go. Most good football doesn't happen with a Hail Mary pass for 90 yards or a 90-yard run, right? But those are the exciting things to watch. But most football, like ground and pound, smash football in college, like think Alabama, it happens first downs at a time. Get another first down. Get to another first down. And if you have somebody quarterbacking, you have to have a quarterback on your campaign. They have to be the number one. They have to know that they're the quarterback. And that quarterback has to keep making first downs, following the playbook with the right tools. And when you do that, you start to look back and you're continuing first downs. You're getting farther down the field towards your end zone. And that is how you do an effective campaign.
And you mentioned having someone in charge, doing an effective campaign. The theme there that I see is having a strategy in play and then making the implementation happen. So I'm wondering if you could share with us what goes into an effective marketing plan and how you would go about implementing that plan.
A great question. Thank you. I like to see campaigns in three categories. Keep in mind, our agency, we work with a lot of, our target are CMOs and marketing directors. So those are really savvy marketers who need to see things built out properly. It's, you can't just bring a lazy plan in. It's got to be great and executable, right? I mean, they are critical, rightfully so. And so to arm a marketing manager or CMO, we like to show them three categories in a campaign, okay? And we build pretty sophisticated campaigns, but let's simplify this. I like there to be three buckets. Picture your campaign, it's got three buckets in it. The bucket on the left is all about new customer acquisition. Everything you do here, every strategy you do here is all geared towards, is this going to bring a new customer in? If I put a dollar in, what's my return? What's my cost of bringing that customer in? Whether that's your AdWords, whether that's your Facebook campaign, whatever those things are, whether it's an e-blast, whether it's a direct mail campaign, everything I'm doing here needs to have a dollar return for it that I'm measuring against. That's important. The second bucket that we have is our internal marketing. This one is equally, I dare say, more important, actually, because depending on the industry that you're in, you might have a finite number of customers that you can even outreach to. So if you're always trying to burn through and get new customer, but you don't take care of them internally, you are going to burn through your brand reputation and through even the customers that you can outreach to. So it's really important that you don't have holes in that bucket and that you're taking care of them. So the internal, that middle bucket, is all about cross-pollination of services because your customers are more likely to buy from you. It's building partnerships. It's retention programs. It's referral programs. It's empowering your staff. It's offering BOGO and special discounts and offers and incentives and loyalty. That is a very important category. So we have our external bucket, we have our internal bucket, and then the other side, that last bucket, is what I call our blue skies or our goodwill bucket. And the reason I put this one in here is because we've seen businesses not want to get behind this one before, but it's really important. If you're building market share, I've built a lot of campaigns that are about building market share and loyalty and brand loyalty over time. This bucket over here is, how are you rolling up your sleeves and being involved in your target communities? What are you doing to break bread and be their neighbor from a nonprofit standpoint to actually showing up in the community? That's how you're going to stay top of mind, tip of tongue, in an organic and meaningful way that complements your internal and your external bucket. So I like to see those three together. And that's what a good, healthy, integrated campaign looks like for us.
And I really like the idea of those three buckets being a big part of the strategy that you create for growing your brand, boosting your presence. And we've talked about how do people get stuck? How do brands get stuck? How do they get unstuck? But let's talk about also, let's say you're stuck and you've been stuck for a while and you're wondering, why am I not getting unstuck? So what do you believe holds most people and brands back from getting unstuck?
You know, a lot of times it's either, I say there's a couple types of marketers. There's three types, actually. There's the strategic marketers that are always measuring, and I have an acronym for that I'll share in a minute. There's those that just don't know, or they don't want to know, and they put their head in the sand. Or there are those that just keep outspending because they're hoping that something works. But we call band-aid marketing, you're just throwing something up and seeing what sticks. You really want to be on the strategy side. So whenever a brand is willing to look internally at the 5 points we talked about, that usually unsticks a brand. It usually does. Understanding them, the target customer, the tools, the plan, and having the right team doing execution consistently. Otherwise, we see the biggest challenge we usually see is that there's not consistent execution. Here's what I recommend for implementation. We have an acronym that we developed for the book called PETMAG, P-E-T-M-A-G. And that stands for plan, have your plan, execute, track, measure, adjust, grow. That implies that we always expect there to be a measuring phase. So when we're doing that, we're already constantly evaluating. See, the brand you told me about is someone that's not sure how to get unstuck. Well, they need to look. They need to be looking and evaluating. So if you've got a good plan, you're executing, you're tracking, you're measuring, you adjust, and you grow. And we follow that six-phase cycle to keep brands from getting stuck. Or if they start following that phase, it helps them get unstuck. Another recommendation I want to make is sometimes, often actually, think about when you log into Facebook or LinkedIn. It seems like almost every time we log in, there's a new magic snake oil or a new magic solution that says, this is how you're going to get X number of customers overnight. This is how we did it. I'm not saying that there's not great new technologies and resources available, but oftentimes you'll try those and you get disappointed. It's really more about being methodical and having a plan that you're following. And then you can see if those shiny objects actually fit in with your plan or not. But to expect to come in and find that magic solution that is that one silver bullet, it doesn't always happen. So understanding long-term that you need an integrated strategy, that type of thinking is helpful. I also recommend that marketers are strategic and not emotional. It's hard not to be emotional when you're spending your money, especially if you're a small business owner doing it. But if you think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you think of that triangle, the bottom of the triangle is the physiological needs. That's like breathing, food, water, shelter, clothing, sleep. That all served us well during the caveman, cavewoman days, whenever you had to survive. But as a smart marketer and decision maker, you want to be acting from the top of the pyramid, which is morality, creativity, spontaneity, acceptance, experience, purpose, meaning, and inner potential. And that top of the pyramid thinking allows you to be more strategic, follow the PEPMAG principles, and not let emotion rule the day when you're making decisions and you're evaluating.
Derek, thanks for giving us that acronym that we can use to basically get an idea of how we're doing right now, give us an idea of the values that we need to develop. And I think a lot of it is also based on reflection, where you're just reflecting on where you are. You're asking yourself the tough questions, and then you can eventually get yourself unstuck as long as those questions lead to action. But throughout all of our journeys, we are going to face certain challenges along the way. And with that in mind, Derek, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge that you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yes, absolutely. And I will tell you very personally, I mean, I've got so many lessons. I've had 8 companies, but let me share one specific to this agency. We tell people often to niche down. We're always telling them you can't be all things to all people, but we did not follow our own advice. Unfortunately, Mark, we did not. In January of this year, we had to make the tough decision to do a niche down campaign. And and that's one of the best things that we ever did, but it was really painful for us. And in January, we had some turnover, some churn rate in our agency. And it was a big 6-figure amount, which was enough for us to go, oh, we outsold it, but we also had a big loss that was unexpected. And it forced us to sit down and go, what are we doing wrong? What are we not practicing that we tell our clients to practice? And we realized that we were becoming a Me Too agency. And I'll give credit to Jason Swink, who is a marketing consultant to marketing agencies specifically. Hear how niche down that is? Isn't that great? A marketing consultant to marketing agencies. And he looked at our materials as well and said, yeah, you're trying to be too many things to too many people. And so we went through after a decade in business, where we were offering brand videos and websites and content marketing and strategy and all these other things, we had to make a decision that we were trying to do it for too many people, too many different types of industries, from car dealerships to international pizza companies to dentists across the country. And even everything I'm telling you sounds very scattered, but we never had to make the decision until it was made for us. And so we niched down as follows, and this is how niched down we are now. From working with everybody on all things, now we offer a strategic playbook and a 3-phase implementation program. That's what we offer now. And let's scale down farther than that. Now we offer it to 2 different verticals. We offer it to healthcare technology companies and banks. And now let's scale it down more than that. So you see how focused we're getting. Now we help marketing directors and CMOs. We be the support team for CMOs to build their strategy and implementation at healthcare, technology, and finance companies. That's what we do now.
And I really like how you just narrowed down to focus on a few people instead of just trying to target everyone in the market. It is a tough choice, especially when you think that everyone's your customer. But as Derek mentioned, it's one of the best things that you can do for your business, especially when you're trying to get unstuck and get a little more clear about who are the right people who are going to buy your products and services. So thank you for sharing with us that challenge and the lesson you learned as well. And one of the ways that I like to learn lessons in addition to the Breakthrough Success podcast is by reading as many books as I can get my hands on. So with that in mind, Derek, I'm wondering if you could share with us 3 books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yeah, there's so many great books, obviously, but one book I love is Immigrant Edge by Brian Buffini. It talks about the principles of success. That was a great book. I'm obviously going to plug my book, Don't Buy a Duck, which has been bestseller and endorsed by Seth Godin, where I talk about the crisis points in marketing and give great examples from case studies from our clients across the 10 years. Another one is View from the Top from Aaron Walker, which is a great book that talks about success and significance and balance and achieving goals. And Aaron's a buddy of mine and a mentor, and that book's been life-changing for me.
Derek, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. We will include all those in the show notes, markthebirdie.com/E254. Aaron was actually a guest on the Breakthrough Success podcast, so we will throw in that link
Yes.
As well in the show notes. And we'll also throw in Content Marketing Secrets. That's a free book. Just pay shipping to get that marketready.com/book in my book, Podcast Domination. You can learn more about that in the show notes as well. But before we wrap up this episode, Derek, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Thank you. I want to encourage others to say, what's something obvious that I'm missing? And let me give you a specific example. I have seen in audits, I've seen businesses who are so focused on their digital strategy and how to reach their target customer that they forget literally across the street from them is somebody they were trying to reach. So don't forget sometimes those old school common sense answers like get outside and meet your neighbor. And trust me, our agency does all kinds of digital strategies. We embrace them all. But there's no substitute sometimes for opening the door, walking across the street, and shaking your neighbor's hand. You don't need to do a creative digital strategy to say hello to them. So don't forget. And I have a chapter in my book that says the yellow pages are dead and other lies businesses tell themselves. And obviously the yellow pages are all but dead. We know that they're almost dead. We know that. But it's meant to kind of poke and get a response of going, wait, what do you mean by that? I mean, don't just rule something out. Look at your customer, understand them, try to understand them, and go, what are they using? What's important to them? And then don't completely rule out those common sense things of shaking your neighbor's hand and meeting them. Because, and if you're not sure what your target customer thinks, ask them. That's one of the most overlooked things I've seen for businesses that are struggling or stuck with their brand. Ask your customers what they think of your product and service.
Derek, thanks for sharing with us that question. All of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Derek, get your copy of Don't Buy a Duck. He also has a free 5-part video series you can use to increase conversions with targeted customers. And Derek, where can we go to get that resource?
Yes, champagnemarketingcourses.com/breakthrough. And we have that free series. And then I've also got a free webinar, which is marketingstrategywebinar.com, where we take time, answer your questions, and go through some of the crisis points and some other suggestions for how to grow your brand.
Derek, thank you for taking the time to share all of your great insights on breakthrough success and giving us all those resources, which will be in the show notes. I can't thank you enough for being on the show. So thank you for once again sharing your insights with us.
Mark, thank you so much. Your listeners are in great hands, and thank you for the work that you're doing.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn